We are going to follow our theme for today. And as we've already stated, the theme is judgment, right? So in our morning Bible studies, you were in the book of Joshua, looking at how God brought judgment there. Today we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look and listen in on how Peter describes some truths for us about judgment. So there's a lot of directions you could go when it relates to judgment. Last week we talked about plank eye. You remember plank eye? One guy's got a plank in his eye while the other guy has a toothpick or a speck in his eye. And so we talked about how can I rightly judge you when I've got all this sin in my life that I'm not dealing with? How can I think that I can rightly judge you when I'm not even rightly judging myself? And so we worked through that. That was just a small part of last week. But you could go that direction when you're thinking about judgment. We could go, as I said earlier, think about how God has satisfied his judgment through the death of Jesus on the cross, and so we can have peace with God through his son Jesus Christ. We could go that direction, but what I want to talk about today is kind of the final judgment, where this whole thing kind of winds down. It comes to an end here, and ultimately God's going to recreate something beautiful and new like we've ever never known. And we're going to look at that today in 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to go ahead and turn there. We're going to read verses 3 through 18. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along in your bulletin or you can follow along on the wall. Either way, the text is printed there for our benefit, okay? So here's what's going on. We're not necessarily going to read the first verse, but here's what Peter's telling us. He's saying, listen, I'm writing this to you just like I wrote the last letter, to stimulate your mind to think about wholesome thinking. Right, to remind you of what the prophets have said, to remind you what Jesus commanded. And so he's saying, hold on to these things. This is kind of like the closing of a conversation you might have with somebody. You know, before you depart, sometimes you say the things that really matter the most. If I'm not going to see you for a while, life gets serious in those last conversations. And so that's what's going on here with Peter. He's getting serious with his readers and also with you and I today. And so let's go here. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read verse 3 through verse 18. All right, knowing this first, okay, so he's just told us to remember everything that we've been told by the prophets, the commandments of Christ. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, and by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. In verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, God's word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brethren Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And so here it is today. I want to look into this idea of judgment and try to pull out a few truths that we can know for sure. There's a lot of things out there, a lot of different ideas about how the world is going to end or how it's going to work when it ends. And Peter's trying to make some things very clear for us here today. So three things we'll note as we progress through this message. The first thing is this. We've got to start where Peter starts. Okay? So we need to understand there will be people who mock those who believe in judgment. Those who believe that God is coming to judge the world need to be prepared to face some type of mockery. Okay? So as Peter begins this letter here, in verse 3, your translation may say something like, you must understand. Or he tells us, this is the first thing that you need to know. So he's telling us right up front, this is what's important. Okay? This is what you need to understand. There will be people who come who will mock you. And so he's speaking with great urgency. And he's also speaking with great care. So what is it? What must we understand? That those who are mockers will mock. Verse 3, let's go. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. So Peter says mockers are going to come. Now here's the thing. To be a Christian means we believe what percentage of the Bible? It's all or it's not at all. Okay? There are those who would like to write their own Bible who say, give me free grace, give me free salvation, but I don't necessarily want to believe in God's judgment. I think God's going to take care of everybody, or I believe that everybody will be saved, or I believe that nothing bad will happen for eternity. But that's not what the Bible teaches. So to be a Christian means that we believe the whole counsel of God's Word. So I don't have the right today, I don't have the authority today to write the Bible in maybe the terms that I would like for it to be written in. So for me to be mocked means, first of all, I have to be a Christian. To be a Christian means I take the whole counsel of God's Word just as He has said, just as He's laid it out before us. Okay, so we need to be sure that judgment will come for those who are believing in God's judgment. Judgment will come for all, whether you believe in it or not. So it reminds me of the Peanuts gang. You remember the Peanuts gang? Is that what they're called? The Charlie Brown special? All right, you remember the Great Pumpkin Patch? You've got a whole Peanuts gang who are wanting to go out trick-or-treating. But where is Linus? Linus is in the patch. And what's Linus doing in the patch? He's waiting on the Great Pumpkin to come. And so he's willing to give up the world to sit here and wait for the Great Pumpkin. Now, how does all the Peanuts gang view Linus, except for one little girl? They think he's crazy. Right? They think that's dumb. That's a waste of your time. You need to get involved in what's going on now. Don't do that because that won't ever happen. And sometimes that's how the world views the church. For those who believe that Jesus Christ will return and God is going to judge all sin, He's going to judge the earth, He's going to wipe it out and make it new again, we're viewed as kind of a crazy bunch of people, just like those who viewed Linus. So the world will mock you and I, just as Peter was describing to these early believers, that the world would mock them as well. Now, here recently, this has just happened this past week. I don't know if you've heard this or not. There's a man who was scheduled, invited to pray at the inauguration of our president. He's been disinvited because 20 years ago he spoke a message that said homosexuality is a sin like all other sins. He wasn't trying to hate anybody or point out that that's worse than any other sin. He said it's sin. Is it sin? It's sin. Why do we say it's sin? Because the Bible says it. So we take the whole counsel of God's Word, right? And so God says it's sin. So people have started some hate speech towards him. They didn't want him to pray at the inauguration because they didn't feel like he lined up with the president's view of marriage and those types of things, sexuality. So he's been disinvited. He's no longer welcome, and really he backed out at the same time. So it kind of reminds me of Scripture. I don't know if it does you or not, but it reminds me of a specific scripture where people are going to surround themselves with people who are going to say things the way that they want to hear it. So don't tell me about judgment. Don't tell me the way I like to live is sin. I don't want to hear that. Tell me what I want to hear, and then I'll come be a part of your church. And then I'll be a part of whatever program you've got. But don't tell me that kind of stuff. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." So listen, we are in these last days, right? And that's exactly what's going on in that situation. We're going to bring somebody in who's lined up more with what we view is right and what we believe is right. And I just don't have the privilege or ability to write what is right and wrong. It's my role to discover it, not define it. That's already been done for us by God. And so let's look here again at these early believers living in these last days. How were they mocked? Maybe you've seen people mock you this way. Let's go back to verse 4. 2 Peter 3, verse 4. All right, they will say, this is how they're coming mocking. Where is this coming that you people keep talking about? You're promising God's judgment. Where is it? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. So here's what they believe. There's not been a reckoning day, right? Our fathers died, their dads died, generations have died, and you keep telling us about some kind of judgment from a God somewhere, and it's not happening. And so in their mind, they're defining what they believe according to what they can see. And they haven't seen God's judgment take place, and so they believe that it's not going to happen. Really, they should have listened, but they just didn't. They had every opportunity to understand God's judgment, but they just missed it. And so we'll get to that in just a minute. But maybe you've heard people say things like this: if there is a God, then strike me dead right now. You heard somebody say that before? And when it doesn't happen, they walk away with their chest out and chin up thinking, I just disproved you. Because if there was a God, he would make that happen. And since he didn't make that happen, there's no God, so no judgment's coming. So there's no fear of God in this world. They're not looking for, they're not anticipating, they're not living in light of the judgment of God. However, God will deal with all sin. And here's the reality. He's already demonstrated that. Okay? It's not just that he's going to do it one time at the final judgment. It's that he has already done it. And these people here should have known that for sure. So let's go to the second point then. One feeds right into the next today. So initially understand that we are going to be mocked. Those who believe in the judgment, mocking's going to come. People will discredit you. They will belittle you. They won't include you in circles that make major decisions because they don't trust your opinions, your insight, the way that you view the world. So you're going to be left out. You'll be belittled, scoffed, mocked, however that works out. But what that leads us to next, though, is that judgment is certain. Okay? Judgment is certain. So Paul tells us right here to hang on to the scriptures. That's what he said in those first two verses. Hang on to the scriptures because reckoning is coming. Matter of fact, there has already been a reckoning. And so he outlines one of those instances here in 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's what was going on. God looks over the face of the earth and he finds wickedness everywhere that he looks. Right? Everybody's heart is bent towards wickedness. Everything that everybody's doing is evil except for one man and his family. What's the man's name? Do you remember? His name is Noah. Okay? What did God ask Noah to build? An ark. Why did God ask Noah to build an ark? Because the flood was coming. You're absolutely right. Were people listening to God? No. They thought Noah was crazy. You think God's going to judge us and flood the earth? That's not going to happen. No, it's never even rained before. We don't know what you're talking about. And yet they should have fully understood in Peter's day that God's judgment was for real. And so let's go back here. 2 Peter 3, verses 5 and 6. But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Now, has this ever been true for you? Sometimes it's beneficial to be forgetful. Well, I just forgot. Isn't it nice sometimes just to be able to throw that word out? I just forgot. I just didn't think about that. These people here were deliberately forgetful. These mockers had conveniently forgot about the flood. And so rather than look into these things as constant reminders of God's judgment, they just act like they didn't happen. They were willfully ignorant. The reality is they didn't know the truth because they simply didn't want to know the truth. Or maybe it was one of those things in their eyes where time passes and things aren't as bad as they once were. Right? So in Peter's day, they were a long way from the flood. Right? And so this is kind of maybe being told as an old wives' tale. Some of us talk about the good old days. Right? Are you living in the good old days? Most people say, no, the good old days were way back when bread was a nickel, you know, and you could get gas for a dime or whatever, and all this kind of, that's when, and you could leave your doors unlocked. And the only thing you had to worry about at school was Joey's chewing gum in class or something like that. That was the things, the only problems The one thing with that is when you go back to that time period, you know what you'd say? Those weren't the good old days. These days are crummy. I want to get out of these days. And so we're always looking forward to something else. So sometimes when we get some distance between us and that moment, we just fail to believe or see everything clearly in that past moment. Maybe that's what was going on here. The flood was so far removed from them, they just felt like it was a fairy tale. It didn't really happen. And I think we see that today. When we talk about the flood, how do we talk about it? It's a story, right? And we talk about animals, and we talk about a big boat, and we talk about a beautiful rainbow. Matter of fact, you can decorate your child's nursery with all those things. We've got it here. And you can have the border that's got some of the animals on it, and you can put the pig, the mobile that hangs over their bed with the little animals that swing around, and they fall asleep getting dizzy looking at these animals. And you can buy a bed that looks like an ark, and it's just beautiful. But that's skewed. See, what that border really needs to have is people drowning. Right? But nobody wants that in their nursery. See, somewhere we've gotten so far away from the flood that we think it's all about boats and animals and rainbows when it was really all about judgment. God was judging the whole earth, and thousands of people literally drowned because they had walked away from God. They just lived like they were never going to be accountable to God for their sin. There is no reckoning day. But what we need to understand today is that judgment is certain. So here's these people. Peter's saying to the church, you need to pay attention to the truth because these mockers don't. And when I don't pay attention to God's word, that's when I start to get in trouble. Matthew 22, verse 29 says, Jesus replied, you are in error. Why? Because you don't know the scriptures. Because you don't know the power of God. We get in trouble when we don't hold to, when we do not believe in God's word. So it's important to hold on to the truth because judgment is certain. So let's look at how Peter words it there in verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. So he just said, God's formed the earth out of these waters. Then God judged the earth from these same waters. Now let's look at the earth here again. By the same word, God said it and it happened. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for, what is it? Fire, being kept for the day of, what's the day? Judgment and destruction of ungodly men. See, so Peter's writing here to remind us of the exactness of God's word. It's not just a general approved of thought in society. This is the exactness. It's perfect. It's infallible. It's without error. Everything about God's word is just right. So did God say he was going to destroy the earth with a flood? Yes, he did. Did he? Yes, he did. Did God say that I'm going to judge the world one day? Yes, he did. And so what Peter is saying here is based on God's word, understand he will. Judgment is certain. This world will be consumed. This earth will be consumed. And all those who are ungodly will face judgment in a way, friend, that you certainly will not want to face. All of us will come before God, give an account of what we've done. But here we're talking specifically about the ungodly, those who have not trusted in Christ. Now here's the reality. Judgment will not come like the flood came. Judgment will not come like the flood came. There were a few people who escaped the flood. Who's going to escape judgment? Nobody. The flood came gradually over 40 days and nights of raining. How's the judgment going to come? It's going to come quickly. You're absolutely right. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing, what is it? Swift destruction on themselves. And then if you go to verse 10 of the text that we read this morning, 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Boom. Here and gone. Right? A thief doesn't write you a letter and say, hey, I'm going to show up at your house 1:30 in the morning. Get ready. Doesn't work that way. It's totally unexpected. Catches you completely off guard. That's how the judgment of God will come. Totally unexpected. And sadly for many, it's going to catch them completely off guard. The Bible clearly teaches no one knows the hour, no one knows the day, but judgment will come. So don't do this. Don't let the reality of you not seeing God's reckoning fool you into thinking that I can just keep on sinning and not have to answer for how I'm living. That's what Peter was warning these early believers about, the group of people who are going to mock them. They haven't seen God's reckoning. They have in the flood. They just have willingly forgot it. And therefore, they don't think that God's going to judge them, so they're going to live however they want to live. They said God is slack, which is to say God is slow. The reality is God is not slow. God is patient. God is willingly patient for a great reason. What's the reason? It's for salvation. So that leads to our third point here today. So for those who believe, you can plan on being mocked. For everybody, judgment is certain. And here today, last, we're going to see that God takes no delight in this judgment. And I wanted to make that clear here this morning. There are those who would say, well, if that's true, if God's judgment is real, then he must be some kind of hateful God who's just going to get joy in the last day when he wipes out everything. Like all the angels, they're just going to rah and celebrate like we would celebrate a basketball game. Get them, Lord, they deserve it. Like it's just going to be some grand event. The reality is God takes no delight in judgment. And so let's go back and look at these verses that help us see this. Verse 9. All right, so Peter says, listen, the Lord is not slow. Mockers think the Lord is slow. That's why they live, because they think he's not going to judge them. It's not that the Lord is slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. It's that he's patient. And he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Then he echoes that in verse 15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means what? It means salvation. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants who to be saved? All men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So why is God patient? Why is it that God is slow in the world's way of defining slowness? Is it simply because he's not sure how to deal with the mess that we've made of our lives? Man, these people really roughed it up. We weren't expecting them to go so far, and we're not real sure how to take care of things here, so give us some time. Is it because he simply doesn't have the power to deal with our sin? No. Is it because judgment is a fairy tale? No. It's because he delights in salvation, not judgment. God's not excited that one day the world's going to be judged. That's why he says, I'm being patient. Because I want as many who will believe to be saved. See, God desires repentance, not rejection. And God longs to restore people, not destroy people. And so though some may like to define God as this God who delights in judgment, he is simply not that God. Delights in repentance, restoration, salvation. See, the reality is, as God tarries, more and more people have the opportunity to hear the truth, to believe in that truth, to call on the one who is truth, Jesus Christ, and to be saved from judgment. And so when we think about the Lord's patience, that's how we need to view it. Or when we think, well, he's not reckoning us yet, so I can keep on sinning. No. It's not I'm saved and now it's a play date for me until I die. I'm saved and then there's great purpose in my life. It's that he still wants people to come to know him. His patience is salvation. So knowing this stuff, what do we do? Right? That's where we need to get to today. Knowing these things, how do we respond? How should we live? So if the world is going to mock us, if judgment is certain, if God doesn't delight in bringing judgment, how should that affect me? Well, this isn't on the wall today, but if your Bible's still open there in verse 12, he tells us to live holy lives, to live godly lives in view of judgment, because we know that it's certain. But also he says, look forward to the day when the world will be judged. So there is an excitement. Does that excitement mean, oh, you've wronged me, now you're getting it. Right? Now you're had. Now it's your problem. You should have repented. I told you and you didn't. Now you're busted. It doesn't work that way. No, I'm looking forward to a day to be a part of a world that doesn't know sin, where people's lives aren't messed up because of sin, where we're not tempted by sin. I'm looking forward to that day where things are right, perfect, and complete. And so I'm sick of this world. And if I get 38 years, okay, take me on. That's about 6 more months. If I get 88, whatever your plan is, I'm just not desiring to stay here forever. Because it's a messed up place and it's not supposed to be this way. And there is a place that is prepared for those who believe that is perfect. It's just right. So I look forward to the return of Christ, not with fear, but with faith. Live godly lives. Live holy lives, knowing that judgment is certain. He also tells us again that his patience means salvation. So that gives me great purpose to my life, right? So it means I've got to be about carrying the message of salvation. If I believe that judgment is certain, that should affect how I interact with people. That should affect how I invest my time. It shouldn't be, well, I don't have any time to pray today. I watched 3 episodes of some rerun. Or I read some good fiction novel. All right? I have plenty of time to pray. I have plenty of time to be focused on the things that matter the most. And what Peter says to us here is that salvation is what it's about. So there are still those who need to repent. The reality is many people today are in desperate need of Jesus Christ. If judgment is certain, that should have some bearing on how I live. And then in verse 17, Peter says, be on guard. Okay, he said right up front, they're going to mock you. Now be prepared for it. Get your guard up because it's coming. This is how we prepare ourselves. This is how we guard ourselves. And we're going right back to where we started. Verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What are we growing in? Grace. Where do we learn of grace? In the Word of God. Grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Where do we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Where do we go? We go to the Bible. So once again, all we've done is walk full circle. Hang on to what the prophets told you. Hang on to the commands of Jesus because people are going to mock you. Judgment is certain, but God is being patient for a reason. So when this mockery comes, understanding this world is going to end, you and I need to live in light of that by growing in grace, by persevering in understanding who God is. So if that's to be my response, our response, what I wonder today is this. Are you living in ways that reflect that we believe in God's judgment? Is there a reason in your life that the world would mock you? Or am I so conveniently tied to the world that there's really no distinction between you and I, except you sleep in on Sunday and I show up at another building on Sunday? That's the main difference between you and I. Or do people know what it is that you believe? Do they fully understand that you are a Christian who believes in the whole counsel of God's Word? I wonder, do we live knowing that I'm going to answer for my life? Every night, man, when I lay my head down, Lord, I hope today I've lived in ways that please you. I'm trying to be somebody who understands your Word, and I'm not perfect at understanding, nor am I perfect at applying it. But I'm trying to be that guy because I know that I'm going to come before you and give an account for what you've blessed me with. What'd you do with your mind? What'd you do with your body? What'd you do with your family? What'd you do with your neighbors? What'd you do with your church? What'd you do with what I blessed you with? Maybe today we've just become wrapped up in our own little worlds and we've forgotten that this world is kind of spinning out of control and yet salvation is still available. God's patience still means that people are saved. That's the whole thing about today. The reason my heart is beating, your heart is beating, the reason there's even still life on this planet today is for salvation. Period. Bottom line. Salvation ultimately brings glory to God. I guess glory would be bottom line. But the reason that he is patient, he is long-suffering, it's not because he's slow. It's because he still sees people who need to repent. And it's his desire that they would do so. See, the reality is the world needs the truth. Did you need the truth? All right, so how did you come to know the truth? Just randomly pop into your head one day? For every one of us, I would say, it's because somewhere in our life there was a person who talked to us, who lived out in front of us, what it looks like to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And maybe that's not how they worded it. Maybe they said, hey, come go to church with me. Or maybe you grew up in the home where your parents trained you in those type of things. But every one of us can point back to someone who held the truth out to us, right? And God's saying, I'm still patient today because people need to repent. How are they going to repent if they don't hear? They're not. So you and I have been given a great privilege and responsibility to hold out the truth, to live the truth. But to hold it out and to live it, I've got to know it. Judgment is certain. Judgment's for real. Everybody dies, right? Anybody still around from the 1800s? No. A lot of people were alive then. None of them now. Everybody dies. You get whatever days you get. And then we all come face to face with the one who has given us life. Are you living in ways today that prove that you believe the judgment's for real? Or maybe you're living in ways that are contrary to that.